on both sides, my grandparents were farmers, and that they cleared land in the summer and either lumbered independently or went to a lumber camp to work for a pay in the winter. Mother's family arrived here from England in 1637. No, that's wrong. Can you blot that out?
No, that's all right. We can change it later.
I got it mixed up. That was my my dad's family.
Okay.
And mother's family came in 1854. They came, I suppose, for better opportunity and conditions, living conditions. My parents followed in the step of their parents and were farmers on both sides of the family. They were thrifty and...
How about your schooling for your father? Did he have any training at all?
Eighth grade. Yeah. My mother, I think, went through the 11th grade up here.
Mm-hmm.
None of them ever reached any degree of prominence outside of possibly township offices and officers in the church and so forth. Previous to his marriage, my father worked in a lumber camp in the Upper Peninsula in the area of Escanaba. In fact, Garden Bay was where he was located. He's early 20s at that time, and worked there three winters and one summer. In the summer, he helped build roads and things of such nature. And in the winter, the first year there, he drove a sprinkling wagon, which was operated at night, so the roads would be ice-covered by morning when they were hauling. The Cleveland Depression hit the lumber industry, apparently, because I remember my father saying that if the logging company hadn't sold several shiploads of lumber, they would have been unable to open the camps. I believe that he started in working for $16 a month in his keep. I was born in 1904 on the family farm in Dayton. The Great Fire of 71 apparently didn't touch this local area. It was at its worst in Sanilac and Huron counties. So I don't
remember. Sanilac and Huron, that's west, east and north, right?
Yeah. Let's see. As to the wildlife, in my grandparents' time, deer were plentiful. An occasional wild turkey was seen, and an occasional bear. In the beginning, medical service was practically nil. I understand there was a traveling doctor that came through once or twice a year. The roads, of course, started out in the beginning as just trails, and then finally the brush and wood was cleared to make a road.
What kind of roads?
Well, it'd just be a dirt road.
Did they use any planks or any wooden roads?
Yeah.
How did they construct those?
Well, just lay planks across.
How about the log roads, the ones that they just laid the logs across in the mud?
Oh, that's called a corduroy road.
Mm-hmm. And what size logs were those?
Well, I suppose whatever's available, probably from 6 inches to a foot. And they were just leaving, especially bad places.
They were. I had the impression they were all...
No, living in swampy places. At the Plank Road, I believe, at one time, there's a plank road from either Juniata or Vassar in Saginaw. And that would be a toll road. Somebody built the plank
road. A toll road?
Yep, and you paid a toll.
Where'd the money go to? The highway? Was there a highway department?
No, it was privately built.
Oh, they were private.
Well, somebody planked the road and charged him over.
Well, now, that's something you wouldn't do today. I mean, you know.
Well, there are a lot of toll roads to the country.
Yeah, but they're owned by the highway department rather than private. I mean, somebody just doesn't go along and plank a road and say, I'm going to charge you to travel over it.
Well, maybe it was a township deal or a county deal, but I always thought it was a man. I don't know. And they went from that to gravel roads and then to hard surface roads.
Was there one way to get to the bigger cities, like Lapeer or Saginaw or Vassar? One route that everybody traveled, or did you have an alternate route?
I don't think so. It was always a straight line to either place.
Now, did you ever run across an Indian?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Indians around Carroll, yeah. Up at the dam. Did you know that?
But there, you know, I looked for those up there, and I didn't see them.
Did you go out by the dam?
No, I didn't go out by the dam. That's where I did. I went, you know, just to stay on the main road.
Oh, you wouldn't see me. You might see me in shopping.
Yeah, but when did they become federally supported? I mean, how did they
Well, live? I don't know yet that these Indians, I don't think, are federally supported any more than some whites are.
Yes, yeah, they don't live on a reservation.
They're not on a reservation. They might be getting public assistance and things like that. But I know there's some around the dam there. The last time I was over there, there was several shacks.
Did you run into them as a boy, though? I mean, around the farm?
No.
Or in town?
It was gypsies that went around then.
They were in wagons?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Stealing stuff and telling fortunes and all that sort of thing. Trading horses. Oh, I remember that well.
You said something about the Indians made baskets.
Well, yes, and they used to peddle them around door to door. They'd have them on a rope or something, a great big string them on their back. So.
And they made them themselves?
Oh, yes. I think out of basswood and ash, if I remember.
They were just generally nomadic. They didn't have any place where they were congregated or settled.
Not as far as I know.
Way back.
Because there was a camp just about a half mile north of town here. And a little clump of trees that was there for years. So.
How did they, what did they do, construct kind of
just a shack.
Shanties?
Just a shack. Now, I don't know. I was a kid, and people told me that was Uncle Dave, Indian Dave over there. But I think they were wrong. Because he died in 1909, and I would have only been 5 years old.
Yeah. Were your parents afraid of Indians? I mean, though, as far as being...
No. My grandmother was, back in her day, because they were going through the woods. And
they weren't hostile, though.
No, I guess not, but she was afraid of them, so she'd always give them pies and bread and stuff.
She helped them out.
She didn't help them out. She just helped herself out. She was afraid.
Did they have a gun in the house?
Oh, I suppose so. But I remember telling about when Granddad used to go winters up north, leave her and the kids alone. They had a big Newfoundland dog that was their safety lamb.
If he went up north, where did he go, your grandfather?
At that time, he went up only as far as Pinconning. There was still lumbering up there. And see, that'd be in the kids were young, probably be in the 1870s.
So he did this also. I mean, he went,
winters,
this
yeah.
was where he... Now, I wonder if your father did that because he did.
No. My dad did that simply because there's nothing else to do winters. And he had this connection and was sure of a job, you know.
You told me once, too, about the logs and the cancer and the...
you know, floating them down the river and how the brothels in the town? And
no, that, no. Don't lay that on Tuscola County.
No, I mean in Saginaw.
Yeah. Well, that's common in books.
Is it?
Yeah, that story about the old girl that used to go up river, you know, and take on the whole crew for $2 or something like that. And you find that in some of these books. And then the madam, they had a bunch of kids work for her, and when she heard a drive was coming down, she sends out to get her girls for a minute.
That's funny.
Water Street was a fun street. And about the Indian school, all I can say is there was an Indian school at Mount Pleasant, and something happened to the Indians. They moved them someplace and moved the people up from the Lapeer home.
Huh. Was that Indian school? Did you ever find out whether that was federal or
no.
State school? Or
I would say it was state funded. I don't know. Maybe it's federal. See, there is a reservation up at Mount Pleasant. This side, I think.
I wonder if some philanthropist decided to set up a school for these poor.
Nobody ever thought that much about the poor damned Indians.
Yeah, they seem to have just gotten shuffled all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, they're.
I have real feeling for these things because I'm part Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Cherokee. So the story goes.
They were really, that's really tragic, that part of the story.
Yeah. They were, well, everything that you could do to a person was done to the Indians.
Hmm.
They were robbed, they were slaughtered. I don't know.
But the Indians around here were mainly Chippewa, right?
Well, I think so. Because I think they were the main ones around Saginaw Valley.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any, your father tell you anything about the lumbering industry as far as the, you know, the industries that came from it, like barrel making and?
Well, no, because he wasn't involved in that. He,
he never got up around.
He was involved in cutting lumber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these cooperage places were small. You see, well, now this one is probably a two-man deal.
Yeah, but he would have gone to Saginaw, like, maybe, did he go there to shop to trade at all?
Mm.
He went more south.
Oh no, heaven's sakes, my dad's time. This was a lot bigger town than it is now.
Yeah, but still they must have had to go to a big town once in a while.
For what?
I don't know, I just think about how we go.
He didn't go up to,
they just didn't travel that far.
No. They went on an excursion once. They got on a train at 5 o'clock in the morning, went to Port Huron. And got on a boat. I think it came up to Belle Isle.
Hmm.
But, see, we had Carroll, the shopping center. And Mayville was quite a town as far as business was concerned. Well, you can tell by the number of vacant buildings there. That
mm-hmm.
Besides, a lot of them have been torn down or burned.
So they didn't need to go?
No. No. And there was always the Sears and Roebuck catalog.
Yeah. What was the mail service like, though?
Probably better then than it is now.
Everything you have to come by train.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know when rural delivery came in. But it's many, many years ago.
How often did they come to town? About once a week?
But usually Saturdays.
Pick up their mail and do their shopping?
No, the mail was come right to your house.
Oh,
they had rural free delivery then.
Laundry. I thought probably, you know, it all come to a general area, there's one store or something.
No, you're too far back. There was a time when people had to come in town.
Mm-hmm.
But this Indian school, I can't understand why you don't hear about that. Now that was there in 1925. Of course, that lasted pretty near 50 years ago. Isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's still there or not. The
building. No, it isn't. Well, the buildings are there, but these people from the Peer Training School are there.
Yeah. Hmm. You don't know who ran the school?
No.
Who operated it?
I would almost say it was probably federal. Of course, it could have been state. Well, it must have been state. If the state kicked them out and took it over for Happening. And as far as the change in the central, good gracious, not up there. Last year was one dormitory for girls. The old administration building was there. That burned, I think, the year after I left. And the gym was old, and the training school was old. Science building was fairly new.
Was it considered unusual that you would go to college, and not many people did at that time?
No. There were a lot of kids went there.
Not near like they do now.
No, well, there weren't as many kids as there are now. Remember, the population jumped in 50 years, something terrible.
But now, people back then, a lot of them didn't go past 8th grade, the 12th grade.
Well, there was a lot of them in my dad's time that only went to school in the winter. They'd go maybe for 4 months in the winter, and that was it.
To a rural school, too, probably.
And don't turn up your nose when you mention rural school. I think they had one hell of a lot of advantages. Because I know I certainly didn't, when I came up here to high school, I certainly didn't feel handicapped. And I didn't have
any. Oh, I don't think so. But what about, what seemed not odd but strange is that you would, in a rural area, you would be one that would go on to college.
Well, I think my mother was probably the influence there. They were just taken for granted I was going to school.
Was it?
Yeah.
And she didn't, and she was the one that didn't have the education.
Well.
She didn't have, well, she graduated from high
school. No, she didn't. She went, so she's in the 11th grade, 11th grade, and her mother got sick, and she had to quit. That's the way they used to know.
Yeah, but even 11th grade was something. For a woman back then.
Well, there were, you look at these invitations I got way back in the 1800s, and you'll see there were more women at school than men. To high school. But I don't know what else to tell you here.
Let's see.
There was about 1,000 enrollment when I was at Central.
And that was primarily a normal school, right?
Yeah.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you teach?
Standish. 1 year. Get the hell out. I didn't like it.
And was it a rural school there?
Oh, no. It's high school.
Mm-hmm.
I was a lousy teacher. I knew that. I got through Central in 3 years and never had any practice teaching.
Yeah.
How that happened, I don't know.
Did you... Now, you mentioned the fire. Had you read or heard anything about the fire? As far as you say, it didn't come down to this area. Or why, I wonder?
Well, I suppose...
It just swept over?
I suppose the winds had something to do with it, or possibly the Cass River might have turned it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or a cultivated field might have turned it.
Had you talked to anybody that was in the fire? Or...
No, the only direct thing I heard about, I think I told you about this. A friend of mine, the name of Mark Kelly, his folks lived outside Harbor Beach in that farm. And, of course, this smoke and heat had been coming for days, people were running away from it. And they decided that's all they had. And if all they had was going to burn up, they just didn't go with it. But there was, I think the fire was coming from the west. And they had a big clover field on the west side of their farm buildings. And that farm, that fire come up to that green clover and just split and went around their place.
It was the thing?
The whole thing was.
They weren't
They weren't a bit hurt.
But everybody around them, I suppose, was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You was, should read it in that history.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, people suffered. And the thousands of, or not thousands, but hundreds of them that were died. And how they died. And God, some man, would be out of his head in horror and would pick up a limb or something of a kid that was his. He'd be carrying it around him. And they get out in the water and they just get scalded and lick urine.
Do they have any way to fight that?
Oh, you couldn't fight a fire that dimension.
It must have been just so huge, I suppose. So wide.
Yeah. The only thing you could get down in a well or something like that.
And they must have had warning, though. They would have had warning to get out.
Oh, they knew it for days that was coming.
You'd wonder why so many people were killed, you know.
Well, what could they do?
I'd take off.
Well, you wouldn't get right far enough on a horse and buggy, you know.
Yeah, that's right, too. I suppose it would have come too fast. Yeah. And I'm thinking in modern terms, and it doesn't work.
Well, that time of year, the woods and the fields were dry, apparently. Well, but this green clover field, about that, see, there were two fires. I think 171, 173 then.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I know it didn't affect this area.
Mm-hmm.
They had, wait a minute. I thought that did come through there, by 46, M46, because I think I told you about this man that was, going over with the Board of Supervisors and never made it. He met a couple of supervisors coming back, and what B-46 now? Said, gone back, there isn't a quorum. And he had to leave his horse and buggy someplace. The timber was falling over the road on Hirsch Corners Road. But I don't think there's anybody killed around here. It wasn't that bad.
Hmm.
He left his horse and buggy there and walked home. His name was Goodrich. And he had a farm and a sawmill south of town.
Must have been just on the fringe.
Could have been.
Yeah. Hmm. That must have been terrible.
Yeah. You better come down here some afternoon.
And read this book.
And I won't bother you and talk to you or anything. And isolate you and you can read that book.
The interview with Mr. Goodall ended at this point.